I'm a Mennonite pastor who loves the Mennonite church. I'm also one who struggles with the ways the Mennonite church disappoints me and disappoints others. 3 years ago, I left active pastoral ministry to engage in some further theological reflection. I felt deeply that something was wrong with our Mennonite theology and practice. I was particularly aware that something seemed to be wrong with our relationships in the church as women and men. I sensed it had to do with our Mennonite understandings of our human bodies, of our sexuality as males and females, and particularly our assumptions about the relationship between our spirituality and our embodiment and our sexuality. So I decided to go back to school to engage in some historical and theological reflection about these subjects, because I believed there was something terribly important at stake for all of us in the church. And I was convinced that Mennonite women, as well as Mennonite men, needed to give our hearts and minds and souls and bodies to this very important reflection. For only together as women and men, will we forge a faithful future for the Mennonite church. I stepped back from pastoral ministry for a while because I could no longer pastor with integrity. I struggled with what genuine healing and hope this Mennonite church I loved so much, what healing and hope did it really have to offer the world, especially to the women and girls of the world? I needed some answers as to how it was that good Mennonite fathers and husbands that I knew, and well-respected Mennonite pastors, and revered Mennonite employers could objectify and sexually violate the women in their lives, even as they held up an Anabaptist vision for the church community. As a woman pastor, I witnessed in our Mennonite church world numerous ways in which the bodies and the spirits of women seem to carry a heavier burden for this distorted theology. And I became deeply troubled as a church leader, as one who represents this church, that this Mennonite church at least tolerated or at worst perpetuated this injustice. I could not honestly proclaim that my Mennonite faith community was a community of healing and hope as long as this reality continued. I had to give myself to pursuing an alternative vision of what it could mean to be men and women together in the Mennonite church. It is out of this context that I share my manifesto tonight. I long to be identified with a Mennonite church in the 21st century that will take a bold new stand for truly respectful and mutual and reciprocal relationships between the members in the faith community, between all members of the faith community. I'm not only talking, and I don't only envision this as relationships between men and women, which I'm highlighting in this short presentation, but also between different races and different ethnic groups and ages and economic classes in the Mennonite church. I long for a Mennonite church that will take a radical stand for loving and respecting women to the same radical extent that we've taken for loving our enemies. I yearn for us to embrace Jesus' radical critique of lust against women as boldly as the early Anabaptist reclaimed his judgment against killing our enemies. I long for the Mennonite church to live into the vision for a new community in which all are valued and respected and empowered to make their unique contribution to the church. I yearn for us to gain a clear understanding that the Mennonite church needs and truly will benefit from the voice and the insight that comes from our particular experiences as individual members of the church body. The Mennonite church needs the wisdom that is gained through lived experience in female bodies, just as it does the wisdom gained through male bodies. The Mennonite church needs to discern the truth that comes by living in black skin and brown skin and olive skin and tan skin and every other shade of skin. Our Mennonite theology and practice needs to be shaped by the experiences of the rich and the poor, of educated and uneducated Mennonites, of urban and poor and old and young, and every other variable that exists among us. All of us need to be integrally a part of articulating a vision for the Mennonite church for a new millennium. Personally, I want more than an Anabaptist vision for the Mennonite church of the 21st century. Because neither the 16th century Anabaptist vision nor Harold Bender's Anabaptist vision explicitly and thoroughly rejected up-down, over-under relationships that existed between the men and the women in the church. Their visions for a new church and a vital Mennonite identity did not include radically reorienting the relationships that exist between men and women. Now, Michael Sattler seems to have caught a vision of something new in male-female relationships. I've always been intrigued with his inclusive language in the Schleinheim Confession. I think it was significant for that time. But we know that this inclusive language did not catch on in a widespread way. In fact, Anabaptist communities then and down through the centuries have most often been identified as the Brethren, the Swiss Brethren, and the Hutterite Brethren, and the Mennonite Brethren. 50 years ago, Harold Bender's Anabaptist vision called Mennonites to practice the true brotherhood and love among the members of the church. The Anabaptist vision has historically obscured the presence and the power of women in the faith community. And in doing so, I believe it has neglected to specifically attend to our relationships together as women and men in the church. To date, the Anabaptist Mennonite tradition has failed to confront wholeheartedly the hierarchical nature of the church family. It has failed to recognize how the use of the family metaphor itself for the church has perpetuated over-under relationships among us. I think, too, that by primarily using the familiar terms of brothers and sisters, even as inclusive as that sounds, to describe our relationships in the church community, that we have carried along in that language imbalanced relationships of the patriarchal family. In a patriarchal system, it's a given that the brothers have certain privileges and positions the sisters are not given. I wonder sometimes if we are aware how strongly the brotherhood mentality still lives among us in the Mennonite church, even though we no longer use that kind of language. I wonder if we're aware how subtly or not so subtly the use of brothers and sisters perpetuates unhealthy relationships in the Mennonite community. Consider for a moment the different experiences of brothers and sisters in our Mennonite families, your own or down through the generations. I grew up in a family of 6 brothers and 2 sisters. And while Mom and Dad loved us all, it's my experience that my brothers were granted freedoms and privileges that my sisters and I were denied. The most blatant example is the gift we received at that important age and transition of turning 16. Dad helped the boys buy a car. The girls received a hope chest, a cedar chest to be filled with household items in hopes of getting married. Now, there was equality in that both of us, the boys and the girls in our family, were allowed to date at 16. The difference was the boys could initiate that relationship with a girlfriend. The girls had to wait for the boy to come calling with his car. My parents reasoned that boys needed a car to take girls out on dates. And they assumed that we girls would have a boyfriend so that we didn't need a car because they would come and take us where we needed to go. Now, perhaps that example seems extreme, or you think that didn't take place in your Mennonite community. But it points, I think, vividly, that's why I use it, to a disparity between femaleness and maleness that has been common in Mennonite families. It strikes me that something analogous to my family experience still goes on in the Mennonite church family. In too many ways still today, I think the brothers in the Mennonite church are receiving the cars and the sisters the hope chests. The brothers are given the freedom and the access and the independence and the control and the role of taking initiative in determining the kind of relationships we have together as women and men. The sisters of the church are too often given a hope chest. The sisters of the church are, the Mennonite church often talks and uses language about true community, true love for one another. And in that way, I think, often only offers women a hope that in the future sometime, not in reality here and now, in this faith community, we will experience mutual and reciprocal relationships with one another. As women, I think we are urged to patiently and passively wait for the men of the church to come and provide us access to the privileges of a car through them. To a significant degree, we Anabaptist Mennonites have still failed to grasp the radical nature of relationships in a new community that I think Jesus sought to create. I'd like to call it the one another community, the community in which we all love one another, submit to one another, honor one another, bear one another's burdens, live in peace with one another. It's a community where genuine love is mutual and reciprocal between all members, regardless of gender or race or ethnicity or class or age. Jesus clearly rejected the up-down community where certain ones lorded authority and power over others. And he rejected the more important, less important community where certain people matter and others do not. Instead, Jesus proclaimed a one another community in which relationships were radically reciprocal. He named the disciples his friends. And although I'm aware in the Greek that still has male-female differences, in the English language, I think friends is a much better metaphor for our relationships in the church because it has a reciprocal, more of a reciprocal tone to it than even brothers and sisters does. I think perhaps the Quakers captured something the Anabaptists didn't by claiming their community to be a society of friends rather than a brotherhood. I want the Mennonite church in the 21st century to embrace a new vision for the kind of community, the kind of mutuality and reciprocity that exists in a one another community. Jesus called his disciples to wash one another's feet. That's a gesture of true reciprocity. Let us Mennonites grasp anew the meaning of washing one another's feet. We have tended to emphasize the service of this gesture, and this is a most important posture for all of us in our community. But it is a reciprocal gesture, because the one who washes the feet, in turn, gets to sit in the chair, and their feet are washed by someone else in the community, and thus they are honored and respected and valued. In Jesus' community, all are humbled by kneeling to wash the feet of the other, but they are also all honored and respected by having their feet washed as well. I think Mennonites need to claim a new bold identity as a community of friends who wash one another's feet. A community where none of the old categories of male or female or Jew or Greek or slave or free are the basis for value or honor or respect or power. I yearn for the Mennonite Church of the 21st century to reclaim the image of washing one another's feet as the model for our relationships with one another. This means that men serve women and women serve men, that men lay aside their privilege and power and respect women, and that women do the same for men, that women prophesy and teach while men listen, and women listen while men do the same. We need to catch the vision that there is a radical reciprocity in this new community, that all are honored and all serve. Dare to claim their own authority to interpret the scriptures. Where might we be in the Mennonite church today if our Anabaptist forebears had the vision and the courage to condemn lust against women, for example, as strongly as they condemned all violence against enemies? More importantly, I think, for us to consider, where might the Mennonite church be at the end of the 21st century if this generation takes a prophetic stand for a truly reciprocal community and against all sexism and racism and classism and other isms we can name? The early Anabaptists are being commended for their wisdom and their insight and their courage and their vision. And we are the inheritors of their spirit and their faith. I believe in our time and in our context, we must together identify what is still wrong with the church. And we must courageously give our lives, as they did, for forming a community of faith that is radically anew. It is my prayer that in our days of dialogue here together, we may forge such a future for the Mennonite church that we all love.